It's nice to be where it's cold. I'm enjoying this. My wife, I don't think, is. She told one of the ladies before church tonight, she said, I'm definitely Florida. Sorry to say born, but she was born in South Carolina, but she's raised in Florida. But appreciate your prayers for us. It's good to be away for just a couple of days. It's been a very busy time in Panama City with everything going on. I will give you just a quick update as far as in regards to our situation. Praise God, our home, double wide, we bought 2 years ago, brand new, sustained some damage, but compared to others, it was very minimal. We have already started the rebuilding process on it. I say rebuilding, getting it repaired to get back to where we can live in it again. You say, well, how bad was it? Well, we had just a couple broken windows, air conditioned. So that sounds like a lot. Well, when you consider the mobile home behind us, there's nothing left but the bed of the trailer. Just some of the items that they had, and another single wide, just over across from us, probably a hole this big around, like a piece of wood or something got thrown through the side of it, and so a lot of damage, but we, through the glory of God, we are getting there. In regards to our church, we did suffer significant damage. Some of you probably saw in the news the Methodist church that was shown quite often. That's right next door to our building. They lost the whole side of their building. We came out of the Sunday school room that we rode the storm out in and looked through our fellowship hall window, and we could see into their sanctuary, see the chandeliers swinging in the pews and so forth, and amazed. And so we walked around the property, and we've got significant damage, but God's blessing there. Would ask you to pray with us. Our biggest need is, at this point, money. The insurance company, I'm hoping to hear from them the latter part of this week to know what exactly they're going to settle with us on for rebuilding cost. But because this is a windstorm and named storm, our deductible went from $1,000 to 5% times whatever value it is they put on the property. They value our property to replace it at $1,366,000. That means we have a deductible of $68,000 now. And so we, to the glory of God, through churches, individuals, some I've never met before, they just called, said, we want to help a church in Panama City. We like your website as far as your doctrinal stand and so forth. So we like to invest in your ministry. And so to the glory of God, we've had $13,000 almost given toward that $68,000, because what will happen is whatever money the insurance company settles for, they'll automatically whack $68,000 off of that. And we're trying to recoup that, so we do have quite a bit of stuff to do. I told Brother Thomas I wanted to put new carpet in our building. I just didn't want to do it this way. I wanted to change some things in the building. I just didn't want to do it quite this way. But God knows. God knows what he's doing. And so we're going to trust him and just continue to see what God will do in the days to come. Some have asked me, how long do you think the rebuilding will take place? Let me assure you, Panama City is nowhere close back to normal. I know some in the media, I don't know where in the world they're getting their information, are trying to say that Panama City is back to normal. No. I venture to say probably minimum of a year, 3 years or more. We saw in the news just before leaving, they say that just in the wood and debris they've picked up, not counting people's belongings, and so I wonder, Lord, was there a baby in that crib? Was there a family in there trying to ride the storm out? So, you know, you learn things are things. They're temporary. You don't take them with you. Your life, your family's life, that's what counts. And being sure that they're safe and alive, and I praise God he brought our family, and really our church family, through it safely. Now, since the storm, we've lost two of our members, passed away, went home to be with the Lord, not because of injuries or anything from the storm, but because of medical issues they had. But through it all, as I tell my church all the time, we remind ourselves, God is good all the time, God is good. And so tonight, I want to just challenge you, if you allow me, with a message that I gave to my church on this past Sunday. If you'll turn to the 62nd Psalm with me, please, tonight. The 62nd Psalm. The storm happened on Wednesday. That following Sunday, we did not have service. There's just no way with all the roads, the amount of debris, people still trying to assess and figure out what was going on. I mean, I've been in Panama City for 15 years, and I'll be honest with you, I was out trying to find some of my church members the day after the storm. I got lost. I didn't know, I mean, just lost my bearings. The landscape has changed so much. But through it all, the following week, we had our first service. We met out underneath two canopies out on the church property and had a good time. And it was our 35th anniversary. We had a big day that was supposed to be planned that did not get to happen, but we still had church and had a good, sweet spirit. The key thing I reminded the church, first of all, was this. You, tonight, you're Gospel Light Baptist Church. Right. This building is the place where Gospel Light Baptist Church meets. But we have to, you say, what's that so important? Because whether you're inside this building or whether you are under a tent or under an oak tree or wherever, where two or three are gathered, he said, I'm there in the midst. And so that's where we started as we began the rebuilding process and trying to just get back together. And then I was praying. I said, Lord, where do I take us now? What do I mean? I've never been through this as a husband, as a father, much less a pastor, trying to lead a church to begin to look at trying to rebuild. So where do I lead us next? And my aunt, who lives up here, well, has a cabin up here in Morganton where we first stayed when we first met y'all a little over a year ago. And she, I don't know where she got it from, but she posted a little thought one day, 6 reasons why we ought to keep trusting God. As I read those over and over, I shared them with my pastor in Tallahassee, and God just began to work on my heart, and I went back, and from those 6 things, I began to kind of develop, with the Lord's help, a series of messages on why we ought to just keep trusting Him. Because mark it down, it's easy to trust Him when everything's going well. It's easy to trust Him when there's money in the bank. It's easy to trust Him when the bills are paid. It's easy to trust Him when there's a roof over your head that does not leak. One of our dear ladies, she's 78 years old. She lost 2/3 of her roof in her house. She said, I stood there, Pastor, the day after the storm. She said, I looked up and said, okay, Lord, why? Why have you permitted this to happen to me? I've tried to serve you. I've tried to do right. Well, why? She said, but then I began to look around. She said, I realized I wasn't the only one affected by this storm. There was other people, my neighbors, and she, you know, of course, driving around, saw things, and she said, my prayer then became, okay, Lord, what are you wanting to do through me? What do you want to see done now? Amen. And so, trusting Him, you know, when things are okay, but now, she said, Pastor, she said, every day that it rains, I go back to my house, and even though it's been tarped twice, she said, there's still water inside of it. She said, what do? I just trust Him. She said, that's all I can do at this point. And so Psalm 62, if you can, would you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read verses 6 through verse number 8. We'll make our prayer and get into the message. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Heavenly Father, add thy blessing now to the reading of thy word. In these next few moments, as I endeavor to preach the word of God, I pray you'll fill this pastor with the power of the Holy Spirit. Give me what I need to give to thy people tonight. Lord, only through you to help, to encourage, to equip. And Father, Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it all. We ask in Jesus' name now with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, series again on trust Him. And so the first week I looked at this thought. We ought to trust Him because it pleases Him. Hebrews chapter 11 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And then the second week I looked at the thought of we ought to trust Him because Isaiah 43 verse 1 and verse number 2 tells us He's personally invested in us. He said there in Isaiah 43, He said, I created you. I formed you. I've called you by name. I am your Redeemer. I'm personally invested in you. I don't know about you, but boy, I think about things and situation going on right now, and I say, God, thank you that in the midst of everything going on, in the midst of all the troubles and all the chaos, Lord, you know where I'm at. Right. You know who I am. Right. You've called me by name. You created me. You've saved me. And Lord, I am your child, and you have not forgotten me. Because mark it down. That's when Satan wants to crawl up on your shoulder, and he wants to whisper in your ear, you're all alone now, buddy. God's forgotten you. If God was so good and God was the God that you say he is, why would he permit this to happen? I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you that I know exactly the reason he permitted Hurricane Michael, the strongest storm to ever hit the panhandle of Florida, why he permitted it to come. But I do know this, through it all, I'm just going to trust him. Just keep on keeping on. But then also we see in Psalm 40, verse number 5, we ought to trust him because he blesses us. The Bible says there, his works, his thoughts toward us are more numerous than can be numbered. Then we think about the idea, we ought to trust him because of his presence with us. He said, Matthew chapter 28, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Can I remind us tonight, church, that sometimes we can get caught up on the big words in the Bible? I'll be honest with you, I've been now through 6 years of Bible school. No, excuse me, I take that back. I've been through 9 years of Bible school. Took a 3-year degree and put it into 6 years my first time through school. Then took an FBI institute at our church where I pastor now, and 3 years. But as I went through all of that, you know, I didn't take Greek and Hebrew. I have a hard enough time speaking English. I mean, sometimes my sons, I get done preaching, they said, "Do you know what you said?" Or I get to a particular word, especially the Old Testament, really trips me up sometimes. You ever got over there in those genealogies and tried to read some of those names? I mean, what happened to David and Michael and Joe and names like that? I look at some of those names and I went, "Oh my goodness." Heard one preacher, he said, "I've got the answer for how to do it, Brother Thomas." He said, "Here's what I do." He said, "I get up," he said, "I tell them to turn to a particular text." He said, "I look at it and go, okay, Mr. H, Mr. Z, Mr. T." He said, "And if you have a problem with that, then you learn to speak the Hebrew and you can tell me later how to say the name." But sometimes we look at those big words and we think, boy, what do these big words mean, or these big names? But can I say to us this evening, the little words are important. We're going to see in just a few minutes, even right here in this passage, a little word. But there in Matthew 28, he said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Aren't you glad to know tonight you don't walk alone? Aren't you glad to know that you don't take one step, you don't take one breath that God doesn't know about? He's there with you. And then tonight, we hear in Psalm 62, and I'm trying to hurry, Psalm 62, we see that tonight we ought to trust him because of his protection. Now let me define the word trust for you, just in case you need to know the definition. It is to put confidence in, to find hope in, to find security in. Can I say tonight to us as a child of God, the moment we trusted in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that began the life of faith. What does the Word of God tell us, both in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament? The just shall live, the just shall walk by faith. Don't you wish, if you're honest, sometimes in your mind, boy, I wish God would just show me the whole plan. I wish God would just unfold the whole picture and let me see it all. May I submit to us tonight, if God did that, it'd scare us to death.
Exactly right.
We'd say, God, you got that plan for me? My wife and I would be 28 years this coming June we've celebrated. I don't know how she's put up with me that long. She needs a big, I emphasize big, sympathy card. But I think about 28 years. Now for the majority of that, it's been full-time pastoring. When I first asked her, hypothetically, she told me later there's no such thing as a hypothetical question. I asked her hypothetically. I said, "Could you handle, if I was to ask you to marry me, could you handle being a preacher's wife?" Because I didn't think at that point I'd ever be a pastor. I thought I'd be an assistant, second man to a man. She said, "No." I thought, okay, that relationship's over. She said, "But if that's what God wants for me, that's what I'll do." A few weeks later, she came back to me, Sunday morning service. She walked the aisle, gave her life, rededicated her life to the Lord, said, "Okay, Lord, I want to serve you, whatever you want me to do." A few weeks later, Christmas Eve, I asked her to marry me. She said yes. Some people, including her mom and dad, I think thought for a while she was nuts. She's probably thought she was nuts since then. But what happened? Through it all, trust God. Trust God. When I asked her to marry me, her bus captain led her to Christ, took her up to Sammy Allen's camp up in Resaca, Georgia. Honestly, I believe she took her there with the idea if she could get her away from me for a little while, at least maybe she'd wait a little while. Not that she thought I was a bad guy, but she just wasn't too sure about this idea of us getting married, especially as soon as we wanted to get married. And Katrina said, I'll be honest with you, Steve, she said, the whole week we're there, I can't remember what one preacher preached on, what one text was or anything, but she said, all I kept seemed to be hearing, it was like just this voice going, faith, 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 trust. Tonight, dear child of God, it starts at salvation. That's not the end. That is just the beginning. And so we continue to walk by faith. We continue to trust Him. Spurgeon said it this way. In a word, trust in God is that high act or exercise of faith whereby the soul, looking upon God and casting itself on His goodness, His power, His promises, His faithfulness, and His providence, is lifted up above carnal fears and discouragements, above perplexing doubts and disquietments, either for the obtaining and continuance of that which is good or for the preventing or removing of that which is evil. You say, preacher, just sum it all up for me. Trust Him all the time.
Right.
Trust Him all the time, as we're going to see tonight. And so as we think about this idea of trust, faith, that's how we operate. We don't operate by sight. God is nowhere confined to say, you know what, I have to reveal to you the plan before you take the step. No, He says, you be willing to sign and take the step, and then I'll show you what we're going to do. I'm looking right now going, okay, God, what are we going to do? We've got a building now to put back together and try to get things done. God, what are we going to do? $68,000. Don't know how it's going to come in. I stood underneath a canopy, told my church that that's what we were having to take care of. And we said, what do we do? I said, we're going to trust God. I said, we'll see what God does. Within the week, $6,000 came in toward that need. He said, that's just a coincidence. No, I believe because God's people have been willing to say, God, we've trusted you when everything was good. We're going to trust you now and see what you can do. God, I say to you tonight, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think tonight. So as we think about this idea of trust in Him, why? Because of His protection that He provides. Notice key things with me, three of them. Number one, notice with me tonight the timing of the trust. The timing of the trust. Look back in the text, if you would, please, with me. And let's look at verse number 8. It says, trust in Him some of the time. Trust in Him when it's convenient. Trust Him when it's good. No, what does He say? Trust in Him at all times. Remember I said those little words are important? If you underline in your Bible or you make notes, I'd circle that little word, A-double-L. I got news for you. The laundry detergent company has nothing on God tonight. Laundry detergent says, we can remove all stains. No, I tell you what removes all stains. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. But He says here in the text, the psalmist is writing. Now, over and over, the psalmist, and I believe here it is David, over and over, David would find himself in all kinds of difficult situations, times when the enemy was coming against him, times when people were questioning the very God he trusted. And that's what's happening here in Psalm 62. And he says it very emphatically. He says, trust in Him at all times. Now watch something. In verse 6 and verse number 7, he says, He's my rock, my salvation, my defense. He's my salvation, my glory, my strength, my refuge. First of all tonight, can I say to you, it's awful hard to talk to someone about trusting God if you're not going to trust Him.
You're right.
You've got to make it personal. You've got to say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a Sunday school teacher, but if the pastor just said, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, accepted His payment of sin as your only way to get to heaven, you are a child of God, and tonight you need to learn to trust Him. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. So trust Him all the time. But then I want you to notice, not only is it personal, but now it becomes inclusive. Because now in verse number 8, he says, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is what? A refuge for us. I want you to know tonight, He is a refuge for this pastor. He is a refuge for this Christian. He is the Savior for this person. But I want you to know tonight, He's your Savior.
That's right.
He's your refuge. He's your rock tonight.
Right.
And so we need to trust him at all times. Now notice this. All times. Again, it's easy. Some of you in here, y'all may know the singing group, the McCamies. Been around for years. Out of all the songs that the McCamies have ever sung, God on the Mountain is probably the one. I remember as a teenager getting to go to a gospel scene. And here in Miss McCamey, boy, she got started on that God on the Mountain. She had that little white hanky in her hand. And boy, she got plumb excited. Brother Freddie, she kicked off one of her heels. It went flying across the platform, kicked off another one. And she just sang it. She said, the God on the Mountain is still God in the valley. You can trust him on the mountaintop when everything's good, when everything's great. But you can still trust him in the valley. When it's dark and the storms are howling and the winds are blowing and you don't know about tomorrow, but praise God tonight as a child of God, the one who holds tomorrow is the one who holds our hand tonight. Oh, dear child of God, trust him. Trust him in the times of prosperity. Trust him in the times of adversity. The psalmist said in Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Now let me just go ahead and admit something to you, okay? This guy standing here before you tonight, this 6'4", 300-pound fella, there was a day when I considered myself pretty strong. I've had major back surgery since then. My family, my church members, they don't let me pick up nothing hardly anymore. My preacher, just back away from it. Just back away from it. That day, sitting in my office, my wife had my boys, our boys, in a Sunday school room across the hall from my office. Mattresses spread all over the floor. She said to me, she said, you need to come on in here. She said, the power's already grounded twice. I said, I'll be there in a, and before I could say a minute, power went out. Looked out my window. The rain was no longer blowing this away. It was blowing this away. I got up from my desk. Left my computer, nothing else to do to it. Went over there to that room. Door shut, and for the next probably 3 hours, maybe four, we were inside that Sunday school room. Power off, no AC. It was hot outside. It was hot inside that building. And I'll be honest with you, in a few minutes, my claustrophobia that got discovered last year began to set in real fast. I wouldn't say nothing to nobody, but in my mind I was thinking, dear God, this room's closing in on me. This is not good. And then about that time, Sunday school doors started slamming all through the building. They were shut, but the pressure was changing. Just, I mean, bam, bam, bam. Then, through different circumstances, windows getting blown out, some stuff, and roof lifted off the front of the building, there was air or wind whistling through the north-south direction of our building and east-west through the building, or west-east, whichever way it was blowing. You say, preacher, you're a preacher, you're a pastor, you've preached to people, they ought not to fear. What'd you do? I was afraid. I'm just going to tell you, I was afraid. I'm thinking, Lord, we left a double-wide mobile home to come down here because the insurance guy said he'd put his family in this building. Lord, let the walls stand up. Let the roof stay on.
Right.
I don't know if any of y'all ever heard that old song, Till the Storm Passes By. We started singing that song together as a family. We started praying. Brother Freddie, over the years, I've heard people say they prayed for an hour, two, three, four, 5 hours. I have to admit, there's not been many times I've prayed an hour or longer. But for those 4 hours in that room, we were praying. Dear God, keep us safe. Please, dear God, take care of us. My wife was praying, dear God, bring us through the storm and then use us, use our church to be a blessing to this community. My 13-year-old son was praying, dear God, take care of our home. Take care of our home. They didn't know, we didn't know what we were going to go back to. Storm was over. The walls were still standing. The roof was still over our head. He said, that's just a coincidence. Did I just remind you that a Methodist church next door lost the whole side of their building? It was 2 weeks after the storm, I think, maybe three. My oldest son, David, came to me and said, Dad, he said, you know what? He said, something just came. He said, there was a pine tree down at the end of the hallway that where the Sunday school wing where we were at. There was a pine tree there at the end of that hallway just outside. It fell and it went toward our basketball court that we have at the back of our building. He said, what's so big deal about that? If that tree had fallen to the left instead of straight ahead, it had come right down the hallway we were in. Again, people would say, oh, that's just coincidence. Or that's just the way the wind blew it. No, I believe God said that tree is going to fall. But watch, I can lay it right down where I want it to.
Yeah. You're right.
Trust Him. All times. After the storm, my wife and I got in the car. First place we went was to go check on our house. We told my oldest son, said, you take the boys. Y'all just drive around some if you want to for a few minutes. He wanted to go over and check on his work. I said, just don't come toward the house yet. Let us go check the house first. As we were going up 11th Street, trailer park after trailer park. That's what I was focusing on. That's what I live in. Trees through them. Split in half. Torn apart. Literally, it's like you took a Coke can and just... I thought, oh boy, Lord. We got over to our trailer park. Pulled into our trailer park. There was damage right away. I thought, oh boy. Our street, the next to the last street in the trailer park, got down to that street, turned left, pulled down our street. No sooner did we turn down our street, I looked down on the left-hand side and said, it's still standing. The adjuster came out a couple weeks later and said, Mr. Perrine, he said, not only is it still standing, he said, it didn't move one inch. He said, I was just at a trailer. He said, it moved 4 feet off its blocks while the people were sitting in the house during the storm, and then it split down the middle. So coincidence? No, that's God. That's God. We got back to the church. First thing we told our sons, boys, home's okay. It's got some damage, but the home's okay. You talking about, you know, I wouldn't have a Pentecostal fit. I watched a little 13-year-old boy throw his hands up in the air, tears running down his cheeks. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He took care of our home. He answered my prayer. You say, what do you think that did, Pastor? That encouraged a 13-year-old boy. Just keep trusting Him.
You're right.
No matter what happens, no matter what the obstacles are, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the problems are, just trust Him. You say, that's hard to do. That's all I can do.
That's it.
That's all I can do. Preacher, how are you going to put it back together? I don't know. It ain't going to be me. It's going to have to be God.
Exactly right.
What do? Trust Him. I'm not wanting a storm to hit your building tonight by any stretch of imagination. Snowstorm, rainstorm, whatever. But ask yourself the question tonight. If it was your home, if it was your building, what would you do? Give me the other side of the coin. Praise God, I have a Savior to trust in tonight. He knows me by name.
Yes.
He knows where I'm at. He knows my circumstances. One of my church families said to my wife and I, oh, I guess it's probably been a couple weeks ago now. One thing about a storm, time starts losing track. You don't know what day, especially us not having church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We just now, this past Sunday, had our first Sunday night service. But anyways, she said to my wife, she said, I know a couple. It was all over the news down there. She said, they had a business. They lost everything in the business. They lost everything. And they're home. And they're together. They took their lives and went out into eternity. I can't say that I know who they are. And I cannot say for sure that they were saved. You say, can Christians commit suicide? Yes. They can. They can get to that point. But my thought is, dear God, I didn't have an anchor, if I didn't have someone like you to trust in, I might be the person wanting to just throw in the towel. Give in.
You're exactly right.
When you've got six people in your church family that have lost all their roof or most of the roof to their house, that 78-year-old lady I mentioned to you, dear sweet lady, she said, preacher, she said, I'm looking around, she's going, I thought about downsizing. She said, problem is, she said, there ain't no place to go buy now to downsize to. But she said, you know what? I'm just going to trust him. I'm just going to trust him. Number two, the timing of the trust, all the time. All the time. Number two, the total emptying encouraged. I want you to go back to verse number 8. He said, trust in him at all times, ye people. It'd be just like tonight, if your pastor, and I know he's probably done, has stood here before you and said, church family, let's trust them. A bill that needs to be paid, a mortgage payment needs to be taken care of, let's just trust them. We've been raising money since January to pay down our debt. When I came to the church in 2007, we were almost $200,000 on our mortgage. I thought, this is not good. So we, over the years, we've been able to pay off, pay down some, excuse me, on it. This year, we really made a concentrated effort. 2 weeks before the storm hit, we had taken our last offering, and we were getting ready to go make a mortgage payment. Hurricane Michael happened. My deacon came to me, he said, Pastor, he said, 2 weeks after the storm, he said, I'm going to the bank tomorrow. He said, I'm going to make our make the deposit. He said, I'm going to make the mortgage payment. He said, and unless you tell me differently, he said, I'm going to take that offering that we've raised all this year, and I'm going to put it on the mortgage just like we said we were going to do. I said, yes, sir, but unless you do it.
Yeah.
You say, hey, you could have taken that money, that close to $13,000, you could have put that on repairs. No, just trust him. I believe, I've told my church all year long, I believe he will be honored if we take care of that mortgage and get it paid off. So we're going to keep paying on the mortgage and get it taken care of. You say, what about the other? God can take care of that.
Right.
But then notice what he said there. He said, trust him in all times, ye people. Then he says, pour out your heart before him. If I was to take this water tonight and pour it out here on the ground, fill up a cup or a bucket down here. That's the idea here. To pour it out. To just let it go. Any of you ever heard the old song, take your burden to the Lord and leave him there? The psalmist said in Psalm 55, verse number 7, I believe it is, cast all. That little word just keeps popping up everywhere, doesn't it? Cast all your care upon him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, can I say to us tonight, the thing that we need to do in times of trusting, and can I say tonight, here's the proof to the pudding. Oh, preacher, pastor, I trust him. God, I want you to know I trust you. He says, all right. He said, bring those burdens to me tonight. I said, I'm 6'4", 300 pounds. I'm a big guy. Sometimes even preachers, pastors, we want to think we're super spiritual. That's the idea we give off. We take the burdens and cares that we have, and we start trying to carry them around, and we think we're being some super giant carrying all that load around, and the Lord says, no. He said, I didn't tell you to carry it. I said, you bring it to me, and I'll help you carry the load. Bring it to me and unload. Last November, we left Tallahassee, Florida, came up here to Georgia. I couldn't talk straight. I wasn't sure what was going on. I thought, I'm losing my mind. I'm going to lose my ministry. It's all going to be done. God's through with me. The doctor looked at me in Tallahassee, Florida. He said, Mr. Perrine, I'm not putting you on any medication. He said, I'm basically ordering you to take an immediate vacation. My wife said, yippee, let's go. Didn't have to get her to think second twice about it. He said, now when I say vacation, he said, I want you to take your cell phone. He said, I want you to put it aside. He said, I want you to take everything in regards to the outside, just put it aside. He said, you just need to get away somewhere and relax. He said, you're stressed. I looked at him. I looked at my wife. I said, especially when he left the room, I said, he's nuts. I'm not stressed. I said, I don't feel stressed. I think if somebody's stressed, you know, sitting around biting their nails or, you know, wringing their hands all the time. But I want you to know, we got up here, we stayed up here for a week, we went back home. Things still weren't 100%. But more and more, I just kept saying, okay, God, you have to be in control of it. There were some situations that I was trying to deal with. My pastor very wisely said, hey, son, he's got the right to call me son. He's like a father to me in the ministry. He said, just sit down, take your pen and paper. And he said, even if you don't deal with the situation exactly right now, at least write down how you'll deal with it. Through it all. All of a sudden, speech cleared back up. All of a sudden, my health was better. What happened? I think God had to put me on my back in a hospital bed and say, hey, son, listen, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. Stop trying to think you're some big hero. No, no. Just trust me. You say, I've got a child that's wayward from the Lord. I've got bills that need to be paid, and I don't know how they're going to get paid. I've got this situation and that situation. I don't know what to do. Do what the psalmist said do under the inspiration of God. Pour out your heart before him.
That's right.
Preacher, I'm a man. Men don't cry. Show me the word of God where it says that. I think a lot of times what's happened in our churches today, the reason we've lost the power of God, the reason we don't see God answer prayers anymore, because we ain't moved like we used to be.
Exactly right there.
What happened to the days when our altars were wet with tears? You say, I've got a lost loved one. I've got a lost neighbor. When was the last time we wept and we pleaded and we begged with God? Oh, dear God, don't let my loved one go to hell. Oh, dear God, don't let my loved one bust hell wide open. I've got loved ones there today in heaven, praise God, and I've got friends that are there, and I want you to know, after losing my dad a few years ago, losing my mother and father-in-law back in January, heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. But then I turn around and I go, wait a minute. I've got cousins, their wives, their children. I got nieces and nephews that if Jesus was to come back today, and he could come back even tonight before we're done here, Lord, they'd split hell wide open. What do you do about $68,000? Pour it out to him. Why? He's the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the hills the cattle's on. He's the one who has all resources. Hey, you ever have this happen to you? It happens to me quite often. You get to the end of the month, and there's more month than there is paycheck.
Yeah.
You think, wait a minute, how'd that happen? Lord, I got to put food on the table. Sometimes as husbands, we get to that point, we think, man, I got to take care of my family, I got to put food on the table, pay the bills. How am I going to do this? What do I do? Just take it to the Lord and leave it there. Watch what God can do. Hey, I want you to know tonight, his bank has never gone dry. There's never been a run on his bank. No, no. He's got all resources. Everything is available to him. You say, well, preacher, the only time that I can pour it out to him is when I come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. No, no, no. You can be in your car. You can be at your home. You can be at your work. You can be walking down the road. You can be out in the woods in the middle of nowhere hunting a deer during deer season. One of the worst things about this storm, power going out. Brother Jim, someone in my church, a man who's just went home to be with the Lord now, had gotten a deer last year, gave us deer meat. We were waiting for just the right time to cook it. We lost it. And now he's done gone to heaven. He gave his son came to this and said, Pastor, don't worry, I'll get you one this year. I said, all right. You You say, don't you like to hunt? No, but I like the rewards of it, okay? I'll just go ahead and be honest with you. Same way I am about fishing. Been fishing 5 times in my life. Finally caught a fish the 5th time. I said, okay, I'm done. I'm finished. He said, well, don't you like to fish? Or don't you like fish? I said, yes, golden brown with hush puppies and cheese grits. Let's eat. I don't want to have to go sit out there in a boat and then have to go clean them. Another thing. But pour out. Turn the vessel of your soul upside down in His presence. Let your innermost thoughts, desires, sorrows, and sins be poured out like water, Spurgeon said. Preacher, you mean I can just come at any place, at any time, no matter the circumstance, and I can unload?
Yep.
There's a lot of Christians that need to have an unloading party. We just need to make some trips back to the altar and say, okay, Lord, it's time to unload. Monday, I preached this message at a pastor's fellowship I was at in Albany, Georgia. Pastor who preached behind me got up, and he was preaching from Matthew chapter 6 on prayer. And he said some things about, he said, you know what? One of the biggest failures we have today in our churches and among Christians is prayer failures. I forget where he said, some preacher he got the quote from years ago. He said, well, didn't you just preach about pouring it out? Yeah, but God just reminded me right after I got done preaching, hey, son, how many times have you had your people get together at the altar and pray since the storm?
Right.
Well, we're meeting in our fellowship hall right now. We don't have an altar there right now. Hey, you know what? This doesn't have to be the altar.
Right.
Side your bed can be the altar. Right. You can stand there and make right where you're standing be an altar.
That's it.
What are you saying? I'm going back Sunday, and before we do anything else Sunday, we're going to get together as a church family. We're going to make a circle, and that's going to be our altar. And we're just going to put everything on the altar and say, okay, God, we're a church. We're your people. You put us here. God, you've been with us for 35 years. You've still got something for Victory Baptist Church to do. We're not washed up. We're not through. You're not through. You're not washed up. God, we're just going to trust you and see what you're going to do.
Right.
You say you expect an immediate answer? Maybe it might come that way. It may be more weeks before the answer finally comes or things finally get into place. Praying for a contractor right now. You say, oh, that's nothing to pray about. Are you trying to find an honest contractor? It is.
Amen.
Somebody don't want to steal all your money. They've already arrested 22 people in Panama City for trying to do work illegally. Trying to pass off to people that they were a contractor or they were a roofer. Trying to get folk to sign paperwork. Make us your representative to the insurance company. Yeah, problem is, you sign that paper, that means every bit of money that comes from the insurance company now goes to them, not to you. So they can take your money and they can say, bye-bye. See you later. But you know what? I've been telling my church, we need to pray about a contractor. But you know what? Have I yet taken my church together and said, let's pray about a contractor to the one who can answer and give us the right contractor? What are you saying, Pastor? Sunday morning, it's time we get back to having an old-fashioned prayer meeting where we just pour out our heart to God. Used to, Wednesday night was known as prayer and Bible study. Now we say, oh, we can't put prayer meeting and Bible study on the side. That's not relevant enough for people today. That's not exciting enough for somebody today. You know what? I ain't trying to be relevant. I ain't trying to be exciting. I'm trying to be biblical. I don't always succeed at it, but I'm trying. Our sign said prayer and Bible study 7 o'clock on Wednesday night before it got ruined. Guess what, Brother Jim? It's going to say prayer and Bible study again when it gets put back up. Why? Because it's time we learn to pray.
Right.
It's time we learn to pour out our hearts to God and weep. Oh, tonight, stop carrying that load. Stop trying. Hey, the moment you think you're trying to be the super Christian and you got this and you can handle it, God's saying you're actually going contrary to my word. You're disobeying me. just come, pour it out. Thirdly, and I'm done. We see tonight the total emptying that's encouraged. We see tonight the timing of this trust. Let me give you one more quote. I have to give you this before I give you the last point. One commentator said this about pouring it out. He said, make known all the desires, the cares, the griefs of your heart. Watch this. To him freely and frequently. Aren't you glad tonight to know that you don't have to come to your pastor to get your pastor to go to the Lord? I'm not saying it's wrong to come to your pastor and ask him to pray about something. I'm not trying to be unkind. But on each side of me, I've got a Methodist church. On the other side of me, I've got a Catholic church. There are people tonight in that Catholic church who believe they got to go through that priest or through some other saint and hope they can get their prayer request to God. No, no. Frequently, any place, anytime, all the time, anywhere, again, anywhere, just go to him in prayer. And then thirdly, the tranquility provided by this trust. Notice again, verse number 7, he said, my refuge is in God. And now he says to the people, inclusively, collectively, God is a refuge for who? Us. You ever been stuck out in the rain without an umbrella? No place to go? What do you immediately start doing? Looking for shelter. Where can I get out of this rain? Across the street from us is a city park. It has 4 or 5 what do you call them? Thank you. Picnic areas, whatever. Nice brick pillars with or block pillars with metal roofs over them. It's fun to watch sometimes. God, I think, has a sense of humor. I know I think he does, because you watch these people, they'll come down on Saturday morning and they'll take the time to get one of those little pavilions and they get it all set up for a birthday party or some type of celebration. And you'll see all the kids out there and adults, and they're all having a good time and running around. And then one of those good old-fashioned Florida rain showers comes through. It's only going to last about probably 2-3 minutes, but it can sometimes be a gully washer. And all of a sudden, you watch all those people who were out there on that park having a great time. They're all of a sudden huddled up underneath that trying to find some shelter. They think they're all sugar. They're going to melt and get wet. What are they looking for? They're looking for security. They're looking for some shelter. Shelter in the time of storms. So let the storm rage high. Let the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me. Why? For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Told you that fear, it got me that day. I'm sitting there looking around, and I'm trying to pray with my family, and we're singing till the storm passes by, and I'm feeling that room close in on me, and I'm just going, okay, Lord. I finally unloaded. I said, all right, Lord, you got to give me some peace in my heart right now, because otherwise, I don't know how long this is going to last before we can get out of this room, but I'm going to go stir crazy right here. That fast. My mind, my heart settled down. I went to sleep. Right there in the middle of the storm. I said, how in the world do you do that? Peace that passes all understanding. Yes. Keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What is it? Hey, the one who permits the storms, and the one who controls the storm, and the one who can calm the storm, can calm you in the middle.
Right, amen.
Even if the storm keeps raging.
Yeah.
The storm, that hurricane didn't just stop right then. But God just, hey, son, going to be all right. You're sheltered in my arms. I'm going to take care of you. Hey, again, I go back to the day we got saved. How is it that we can trust in a God we've never seen in his shed blood? Because I guarantee now, if I was to walk around this room and look at you and buttonhole you and say, hey, were you at Calvary the day that Jesus died? Were you there in the flesh to watch him hang on that cross? You'd have to say, no, Pastor. Preacher, I wasn't there. What are you doing? You've put your trust in what the Word of God says, that God does not lie, that His Son went to Calvary, shed His precious blood on that cross for you and for me, and if we put our faith and trust in Him, we have salvation. Then why is it that when it comes to the storms of life, we want to run everywhere else, to everything else, and trust in that instead of Him? If you were to go on and read the psalm, it talks about the fact that we ought to make sure we are careful not to trust in things, not to trust in money. There's a lot of people that were trusting in their money. Guess what? It's gone. A lot of people trusting in things. Guess what? They're gone. Word of God says riches take wings and they fly away. But you know who never leaves us? Never forsakes us. Never leaves us alone. Our Heavenly Father.
That's right.
And He says, child, just come rest in me. Come find refuge in me. I'm your shelter in the time of the storm. Many times Satan whispered, there's no need to try. There's no end of sorrow. There's no hope by and by. Oh, but I know Thou art with me. And tomorrow I'll rise. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. I wish I could remember all the words to that third verse. But oh, it gets even more glorious after that second verse. Because in that third verse it talks about the fact that one day all the storms will finally be over. And we're going to stand on that shore with Him, with all the storms over, and be able to say, till the storm passed by, oh, He kept me in the hollow of His hand. The God who has this world in His hand, in the palm of His hand tonight, has you, me. And what does He say? Trust me. It sounds so easy, but I'm learning. Sometimes it can be complicated. Why? Because we fail to do it because we think we've got to take care of it of ourselves. I'm going to ask our heads to be bowed, our eyes to be closed. I'm going to ask Brother Robert to come to the piano in just a minute. After I pray, I want him to begin to play, if he would, for just a moment, that song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." As he plays it quietly in just a moment, you begin to stand, please, now to your feet. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, there's one person in this building who's never put their faith and trust in You. Would You help him to do that tonight? Lord, tonight, there's a child of God here. They've put their trust in You, but right now, they're in the middle of a storm. Maybe it's a family storm. Maybe it's a financial storm. Maybe it's a spiritual storm. Maybe it's a physical storm. Lord, tonight, just help them to come and pour out their heart before You. This pastor, this church, Lord, what a sweet, sweet family they've been to my family in the time we've met them. Though it's only been just over a year, it feels like it's been years we've known them. Such sweet fellowship they've given to us. Lord, You know the needs that this church has tonight. Some have been mentioned already tonight in prayer. Lord, through it all, may we trust You. Not some of the time, not only when things are good, but even when things are bad. May we trust You all the time and show that by pouring out our hearts before You and watching as You provide that security, that refuge, that place of safety for us, that place of shelter for us in the time of storm. We ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. He begins to play verses tonight. Are you trusting Him tonight? Is there something that you just need to come unload at the altar tonight? Say, okay, God, I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. Maybe it's, again, a physical need, a spiritual need, a financial need. Just trust Him. Oh, God, help us to trust You tonight. Help me to trust You, Lord, more and more. You've proven Yourself over and over again. Help us to trust You. Help us to trust You. You unloaded on Him tonight, or are you going to keep trying to do it yourself? I'm just going to play through one more verse, then the pastor will come. Just before your pastor comes back, let me say to you tonight, as a pastor, a guest pastor in this church, in this pulpit, thank you so much for the love, the kindness that you have shown to my family. It was just last November we were here for the first time. I remember looking on the website, saw Gospelite Baptist Church in Blue Ridge, Georgia. I said, honey, we got to go there. I said, and top it all off, the pastor's from Panama City, Florida. I said, we got to go there. Our home church in Tallahassee is Gospelite Baptist. Y'all have made us feel so welcome since the first time we came. Your friendship, your kindness, your prayers, I promise you, we wouldn't have made it this far without them. Thank you for your concern. Your pastor and my pastor got together with my mom. They said, if I ever put my mom through this again, as far as not being able to reach us after a storm, I think all three of them are going to string me up somewhere in a tree somewhere. But just appreciate your kindness and love, and thank you for the wonderful accommodations. You don't know how much of a shot in the arm this is for us just these last couple days to be up here. And I'm enjoying the cold weather. My wife, she's freezing to death, but I'm loving it. And she saw on the news today we're supposed to be 19 degrees tonight, and she said, did I read that right? I said, uh-huh. I said, it's going to be nice. We're going to enjoy it. So, but appreciate it. Thank you so much. And Pastor, I want you to know, brother, love you. Thank you. Appreciate you. Sorry I preached long tonight. You can blame me later, okay? Don't take it out on your pastor.
I don't believe it was too long.